God, we're asking you to open up your word that we would see it like never before. May it dance on the page. Help us right now. We want to break agreement with our stinking thinking. We want to break agreement with pride and everything that's ungodly that we're in agreement with. Because we only want Jesus to live in us. We want to see what you want us to see today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Therefore, Peter's preaching in the book of Acts chapter 2. The Apostle Peter, Holy Spirit came and indwelt him. And at the end of his sermon it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, know for sure, that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified 7 weeks ago, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. He's made him your master, the one you crucified, you, personally, 7 weeks ago. He's telling the people that crucified him. And he made him the Messiah, the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. And you rejected him. And God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Remember when Brother Glenn, Pastor Glenn, was talking a little while ago, and he said, you know, Apostle Harvey will say some stuff. He says, I'm not always keen on what he says, but it's usually because he's sticking his nose in my business. He said something like that. I don't remember how he said it. He's touched on some truth that I don't want him messing with because now I got uncomfortable. And because our arms are too short to box with God, who is the truth, what we do is we take it out on his messenger. I don't like what you're saying. And we hit him in the nose. Now, Acts chapter 2, 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God will give you himself to come live inside of you. But first, you have to make a decision. I don't want sin anymore. I'm tired of sin. I want God. I needed you, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. It's not that you have to promise to quit sinning. It's that you have to tell him, I don't want to sin, but I need you to deliver me because I'm handcuffed to it. It takes me where I don't want to go. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, I need you. I don't want that sin. I want the Savior. He says, and then when you make that decision, he says, I will forgive you. I'll take all your sin. I'll pay for it because every sin has to be paid for. Do me a favor, say that with me. Every sin has to be paid for. He says, I will pay for your sin. He said, and then I am going to come and give you a gift. God, what I deserve is a spanking. Yeah, I know. But what I'm going to give you is a gift. I'm going to take your spanking for you, and I'm going to give you a gift. You know what it is? He said, it's me. It's my heart I'm going to put inside of you. I'm going to take out that stony, hardened, selfish heart, and I'm going to give you my tender, loving, others-minded heart. Isn't that the coolest gift? Yes! For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off. This man, Daniel, in jail. Jake, I don't think Jake's saved. Unless he's gotten saved in the last few days. I have no idea. But by talking with Jake, I don't believe the dude's saved, okay? I've been dealing with him for a number of years now. But God put him in a hard place to bring him to the end of himself and the foot of the cross And when he got stuck in prison, this time it wasn't a visit to jail. It was like, let's go hang out at the prison for a little while. Now, God got his attention. Now God's answering his folks' prayers. He tried to answer their prayers, but Jake wouldn't let it be with just words. Jake needed a spanking. He needed a timeout. And then Jake, because God was all over him and breaking him, and he cried uncontrollably for 3 days in a row in prison, which most people don't do because you become a sissy and they pick on you. And Jake, it was God. And the guy, Daniel, he said, at first I thought he was a sissy. He said, but then God got a hold of my heart and began to break my heart, and I started becoming sorry for the way I treated my family. See, that's God. And then Daniel, he don't know God yet, but he's just cooperating. He's walking the light he has. He's on his way in repentance. And he says, I want to go start a church. You haven't even been in church yet. You don't even have Jesus inside of you yet. Yeah, but I came in contact with God so much, what I have experienced with God, I just want everybody else to experience it. Eh? So now he goes and hangs out at the bus stop, just waiting for people to show up so he can have a congregation. That's what happened with me when I met Jesus. I went door to door, finally met a guy, introduced me to Jesus. The next day I went door to door. Did you know God's real? I just met him yesterday. And then they'd slam the door. Did you know God's real? I just met him. She don't know me yet. That's why they called the cops on me. And when the cops came, he said, what are you doing, boy? So I told him about Jesus. He said, sounds like you got saved. I said, I think that's what they called it. He said, you got to calm down. You're scaring people. I said, I just met God. How am I supposed to calm down? That's right. I am calm. You should have seen me. I didn't know in the beginning. I used to tackle people. You need Jesus! I get them on the floor. I threw people against walls. I'm not kidding. How do you think I led 2 professional hitmen to Jesus? Dude, I wasn't scared of nothing. It's like, everybody needs Jesus. For the promise, he says, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, or because Jesus is going to remove your sin, and then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words, you thought it was Peter, it was me, because it says, and with many other words, did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this perverse, this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, not lone wolves, and breaking bread from house to house, they hung out with people of their body. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That is a day ministry. That is not a store. For the first 2 or 3 years, whatever we had it, we kept calling it a store. So God brought it to a place. He kept trying to get our attention. And he goes, it is a ministry. And I kept telling him it's a ministry, but I kept thinking of it as a store too. When was the last time you went to Sears and the lady at the checkout when you were buying something said, here, let us give this to you? Last time you went to Kmart and they tried to give you stuff. Last time you went to Walmart. Last time you went to, Yonkers. Any of these places. Speedway. Here, please. Let us give you an extra 10 gallons of gasoline. I'm sorry? Just go ahead. Who wanted to give a testimony on that? So God tells us, I want to do something completely different. He said, this is a ministry. He said, cut all your prices in half. Lord, they're already half. You can go over to Goodwill, and our prices are lower than theirs. He says, cut them in half. Okay, Lord, so we did that. Now what? He says, now when people come, give them something. Give them something, whether they buy something or not. What? He said, am I in charge or not? Now, here we go. God's idea of church. Is it God's idea of church, Judy, when you and Pastor Glenn were giving all this stuff away? I mean, is that God's idea or is that man's idea? And what did you see after that? I'm sorry, what you told me you saw was totally God. Okay, right? The next day, she's like smiling like this. I can't even, her face, it went past her face, you know. She says, I don't know who got more blessed. Pastor Glenn and I are the people. And she said, when we kept trying to give stuff away, the people just were like hanging with their mouths open. They were crying. They were like, oh. That's God. Do you understand? What is God's idea of church? What do you see in Acts chapter 2, 36 to 40? You know one thing I see? I see people that were hearing the word of God. Somebody that was filled up with God. Even this guy, Daniel, who probably not even saved yet, but God has touched him. And he was so touched by being in prison with a guy who wasn't even saved, but whose parents are saved and been praying for him. And God's working in him. And it began to work in the people around him. And so when it touched Daniel, he needed to come here. He doesn't live around here. But he cooperated with what God was doing in him. He couldn't keep it in. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of these people. What happened in Acts chapter 2? What happened? What was different? What is God's idea of church? Okay, I want us to do a... what's the word? I don't know what you call this thing. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. I'm going to just read this to you. God had me write it down this morning. Close your eyes. Imagine that you're on an island and you've never seen a Christian church. You don't know what a Christian church is. And you're on an island. You've lived there. That's your whole life. That's your world. And there's other people on the island. And you look out one day and you see some guy paddling in on a boat. And this guy gets out and he begins to talk. But when he begins to talk, it's not like anybody else talked. Because he begins to talk about Jesus. And he begins to talk about the real God, the creator of the universe. And he begins to talk about our sin. And everything he's saying down inside of us is ringing true, even though we've never seen this guy before. We've never heard these things he's talking about. But they're all real. And so he presents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, on the cross as my personal substitute. He took what I deserve. He took what you deserve. And you see that because it's ringing true inside of you. And inside, you admit the truth. You call out to God for mercy. Please, don't let me get what I deserve. I deserve to be punished from your presence in a place called hell. Please don't let me get what I deserve. Jesus, I believe you are God and you died on that cross for me. I believe what this man is saying. It's true inside of me. I believe it. They made a decision. Then he told him, when you get saved, the first thing you need to do is you need to get baptized in the water. And they're like, what's that? And he says, here's the water. And here you are. And when you stand in the water, what you're doing is you're picturing the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. You're telling everybody, I believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of him. He wasn't ashamed of me. And you're telling God, that's what you're telling people. And what you're telling God is, I want to die to my old way and be raised to walk a whole new way. I don't want my life anymore. I'm tired of my life. I want your life. So you get baptized. And you go, what's next? What's next? This is awesome. What's next? And the man says, I'm leaving. And they go, what? He goes, I got to go. There's other islands. They haven't heard. I got to go. What do we do? And he hands you a book. And he says, this is the word of God. I don't have time to tell you everything, but here's God's instruction manual. It'll tell you how to start a church, and it'll tell you, church, what's that? Read the book. And it'll tell you what you do next. Now, have you ever, in reading the Bible, now I know, okay, you can open your eyes. I'm going to ask you to be honest. I know it's a stretch for some of you, but let's be honest for a minute, okay? Have you ever, when you're reading the Bible, said, I'm looking at the Bible, I'm looking at North American Christianity, and I go, it doesn't look the same. Have you ever done that? Huh? So what I'm going to ask is, what is God's idea of church? If I had went to a pastor's fellowship of all the pastors in Grand Rapids and I asked that question, because I've preached on a number of pastor's fellowships, not around here, but all over America. But let's say I did that here. I bet you I would get a whole bunch of different ideas. What's God's idea? Well, it would look like our church. Well, it would look like my church. Well, it would look like our denomination. I submit to you, if you want to know God's idea of church, we need to look in God's Word. And as it says in Revelation 22, 18 and 19, don't add to it and don't take away from it. What does God say? Let's look at Acts chapter 2, 36 to 37. Let's take note of some things that we see here. Look in verse 36. Number one, they're listening to the word being preached. Number two, the guy that's doing the preaching, he's just lifting up Jesus. He's showing our condition, our predicament, and he's showing God's solution. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He's not talking to them about turning over a new leaf, being good, keeping more rules. He's talking to them about bringing your sin to Jesus and saying, Jesus, I'm the one who killed you with my sin and my choices and my life. Will you forgive me? and then Jesus comes to live inside of them. It says, notice in verse 37, they were pricked in their heart. Have you ever been here? I know you have. And or you've been around preaching and it touches you inside. What do we normally do? We get mad at the person that's doing the talking. We deny. We run. And then when we come back, we act like nothing's happened. You sure don't want the video to be played of all the things that you were saying about the person that was doing the talking. They were pricked in their heart. Am I perfect? Are you perfect? Can we ask your husband? Because when I had a preacher tell me that he was, if I lived with her, I'd probably say that too publicly. But privately, I couldn't, you know. Yes, dear, you're right. I'm wrong. Rock. Yes. I heard a preacher say that one time. I'm the head of my house because my wife lets me be. I heard another one say, I'm the head of my house and my wife's. No, how do you say? He says, I'm the head of my house and my wife's the neck. And I turned to my wife and said, and you sure don't want a sore neck. And what do we see here? Verse 37. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Have you ever been, does anybody need me to explain pricked in their heart? Has everybody got it? Just raise your hand real quick if you got that. You're pricked in your heart. You've been touched. You're moving. Now, what do we do with that? God's kingdom is a kingdom of humility. But what kingdom do we normally live in? A kingdom of pride. Self-defense. Justification. Arguing. Blaming. It's called blame shifting. When they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What I see here is that God showed me this week, because God's just been working on me about this, is I see people that were in humility and they were looking for direction. What shall we do? In humility and looking for direction. And then the leader said, repent. They didn't give some mamby-pamby, watered-down, nice little pat-me-on-the-back message. They said the same thing Jesus said when he started his earthly ministry. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the name of generic God bless America. In the name of Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. Acts 4:12 you'll find. Where it says, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or because of the remission of sins, the removal of sins, the forgiveness of sins. And when you do that, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What do we want church to be like? Do we want it to be like God's idea? Or do we want God to come bless what we're doing? I'm going to pause here and wait for an answer. God's idea? God's idea? How about would we rather him come bless what we're doing? God, we want you to come and bless what we're doing. We want you to come and make us feel good. We want miracles and fall down and warm fuzzies all the time. We don't want any of the hard stuff. Don't give us any hard words. Don't talk about submission. Don't talk about authority. Don't talk about money, giving, tithing. Don't talk about any of that stuff, Lord. Just all the warm, fuzzy stuff. What is God's idea of church? How do we get God's idea of church? There are leaders. There are followers. Which one has God called us to be? Where has He positioned us? And what are we doing with the other ones? For these 8 years we've been doing this, God kept dealing with me because of what was ingrained in me, my natural sinful tendency to be demanding, lording over people, controlling, and saying, I don't want that, Harv. So I thought He just didn't want titles. It's not about the title. It's about the attitude. It's about the choices. Now, do I lord over you? Do I try to control you? I'm asking. I can't hear you. I can only hear that little one over there with her empty bottle. Going, Mom, more. What are you thinking? How is He going to get what He wants? We're going to eat here in just a little bit. Now, you probably baked something. Now, my wife, as soon as church is over, I'm going to run to Kentucky Fried and get my wife's cooking. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth. Well, she told me don't get by any of that stuff. She said, just buy the chicken. She said, because she went and bought her pies and stuff at Meijer's this morning. Okay? My wife just, she is. She is. We got past the exploring stage, you know, and the burnt offering. And here, Harv, accept this, you know. We got past all that. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's hard to cut through charcoal. But I already knew she wasn't going to go home and cook. So I just volunteered. How about if I go pick up a bucket of Kentucky Fried, you know? And she didn't argue. Oh, no, please let me bake. That's not my wife. The lady across the street, they moved in. And I don't know if y'all are old enough or have ever lived in a place like this. But when I was growing up and somebody moved in, all the neighbors would bake stuff and take it to them. Well, this lady moved in our neighborhood and she baked stuff and brought it to us with her two little kids. And said, hi, we just moved in across the street. And she gave us these cookies. They were good. See them? And then she brought it on this crystal plate, whatever you call that thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it's not paper. It's not a throwaway. My wife says after a few days, she says, you know what? She says, that lady brought that thing on that crystal plate. She says, that means I'm supposed to bake something and take it back to her. And I'm thinking, I wonder when hell's going to freeze over, you know? And so I thought, okay. So what she did was she asked Janiyah. And Janiyah just baked some cookies and put them on that plate and, you know, sent them to our house with the aluminum foil on the paper plate. And then we transferred them, so put them on that crystal thing with Handy C, you know, all over it. And now we just got to go over there to deliver them. What? She couldn't get them all on there, so you see the rest? Okay. Now here's my thought. What's God's idea of church? What is God's idea? How are we going to have that here? We've talked about it. We know some things not to do. But what do we do? One of the things is when God moves on us. Let me give you an overview, okay? God had me write this down as an overview. I put it in my notes on verse 43, I believe. Give me 1 second. Stages of walk and growth in a Christian's life. Here's the overview. Okay? Here's God's overview of what happens. Someone hears the gospel. Then they repent toward and believe on Jesus Christ. Then they obey God's command, not his suggestion, to be baptized publicly. Then they join a local church. And then they get discipled. And then they tell others. And then they build God's kingdom. Is that an overview? Just like a basic? Is that pretty true to the word? How are we going to do that here? How are we? I'm not asking you to, everybody to start answering me. I'm asking you so that you will begin to ask God. You want something different. But what? You want your version? Your idea? Oh, I know what you want. Maybe you want smorgasbord. I was over at this church and I liked what they did, and I was, but not the rest of it. And then I was over at this church and I liked what they did here, but not the rest of it. And over at this church I liked, but not the rest of it. So it's smorgasbord. Pick and choose. Is that what you want? What I'm saying is we want God to have his way, right? So how do we do that? I want to hear, but I don't want to hear right this minute. I want you to write it down. I want you to pray. I want you to begin to pray and ask God, and then I want you to begin to pray it in, and then I want you to make a choice to lose your life so that you can have Jesus' life and let Jesus live through you, and make a choice to cooperate that when he says, go bake, if that's what you do is bake, or if you go buy Kentucky Fried, then go buy Kentucky Fried and take it to your neighbor or somebody else that's here that's hurting. We heard somebody was hurting, going to have a surgery or something this week, and Leida was bringing that to me the other day, and I said, okay, I'll take them some Kentucky Fried one night. It's like, let's be Jesus to people. But let's not just do our own way. What would God have us to do? If you read Acts 2, 36 to 30 to 47, in there it says, and I want you to, when you're reading, I want you to read one little section like where it says that part like Glenn said, because that's what he keeps dealing with me about. And I keep saying, God, I don't want to say this to people. But he keeps saying, this is what I'm showing you. Verse 42. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine of teaching and fellowship. They listened to, obeyed, and followed what the apostle was saying, and they wanted to hang out with the apostle. Do you see that? I love it when different ones of you, Tom has done it so many times, he'll call me, and he doesn't really have something to say except for he just loves me. And he just calls me just to say hi, just can I help you? Steve does that. Pastor Glenn does that. How can I, is there something I could do for you? I just love you. Nate does that. How are you doing? Fine. I'm normally like, hey, I'm on another call. Can we talk later? And then I get to you in the next week or two, you know, because I live on my phone so much. But I love it when people do that. I love it. Not, and I'm sorry if I can't talk to you always right then. I live on this phone, you know. But what I'm saying is they God's put me inside of them and put them inside of me. And they want to hang out. They want that fellowship. They want, because they're in unity. And if you'll notice, I just marked it down in this passage. I want you to notice, start with, let's see, where were we? Start with verse let's see, 36, they crucified him, pricked in the heart, what shall we do? They gladly received his word. So then they that gladly received his word. See, everybody didn't gladly receive his word. And then they continued steadfastly. What we're looking at is a principle. One accord. That means they were in agreement. And they were following the apostles' doctrine of teaching. That's what they were in agreement with. Because the apostles, if you look in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, it says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Every single day, we love it when different ones of you come pray with us, but I've told God, I hope this never ends. But every time before the day starts for the day ministry, God has called my wife and I and different ones of you, and we come and we pray for 30 minutes. We just sit before God, and then God moves on us, or we just sit there and wait on God, and we pray. But it's like the rest, the peace, because you're just depending on God. It's like, and he's been telling us for 2 years he wanted us to pray and become a house of prayer, and we wanted that. But now he's doing it. He's stirring us, and we have to cooperate with that. And then Sunday morning, we come here. We get here about 9:15, because we know y'all are going to come in and start talking and whatever. So we want to get here 30 minutes before, because God is doing stuff. We're not looking for the outer, just what everybody all looking the same, all smiling. Oh, hi, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. I don't need that fake stuff. I hated it when I went to church and people did that. Get off of me. What do you mean? I've been coming here 10 years. You've never called me one time outside of here. You've never talked to me. You've never invited me to your house. And you've never come to my house when I've invited you. What do you mean you love me? I heart my chihuahua? Go heart your chihuahua. Get off of me. I want Jesus. I want the love of Jesus. I want someone to honestly care. I want someone to listen, not, hi, how are you? Oh, could I tell you? No, look of fear. Don't tell me. I don't really care how you are. It's just words we say in America. Do you understand? What would church look like? Acts 2:42. Then they continued steadfastly. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, they hung out with each other. They got together, not just to play pinochle. Maybe they played pinochle, but I think it was more like they were getting together and praying. They were getting together and loving one another. They were getting together and lifting up the Lord Jesus. They were getting together and inviting other neighbors and friends in, and they were seeing the love. They were being drawn. This is not my kingdom. I'm not trying to build my kingdom. If I was, I could call a Christian rock band in here. There's a paradox. I could call a Christian rock band in here. I could have a raffle. I could do all kinds of things to attract a crowd. Harvey can attract a crowd by himself, believe me. Okay? But I would rather be true to him. And I would rather be true to this word. Because I've already lived the other life. I've already lived it. I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. When you're reading this passage, 36 to 47 in Acts chapter 2, okay? When you're reading this, it's about the last 11 or 12 verses in the chapter, ask yourself, what would this look like in my life? What needs to be different? What is it I think is okay that I need to let go of to get what God says is okay? Do you hear me? I don't just want to say words. Oh, I want church to be like God wants. I want it to match up with the Word of God. Because when you keep on reading, those of you that bake stuff, y'all have nice recipes. Some of y'all have nice recipes. Well, you can't just leave some stuff out and expect others to make up for it, can you? I'm sorry? God has a recipe. He said when they did these things, these are the things that happened. Miracles were done. Reverential fear came on people. Not fear like everybody was afraid. It was like they had an awesome respect of God. They were afraid to do wrong. If you read over in chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says they dared not to join themselves with other people outside the group. You see, I witnessed to everybody. But let's say I'm going to witness to this guy. I don't go hang out with him if he drinks. I don't go hang out with him if he runs around with people, you know, women, besides his wife. What I do is I love him where he's at, but I try to love him to truth, to light, to Jesus. Do you understand? Does anybody understand? Did I go too fast? Four words, and we'll be done. You ready? If not now, when? If not you, who? Jesus, we want to be true to you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the written word of God that never changes. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You said don't add to your word. Don't take away from it. You gave it to us. It's so perfectly clear. You put the cookies on the bottom shelf that a kid can understand when they read it. Help us to be true to you in your written word. Help us, Lord, because we want to see you rend, tear the heavens, and step out and interrupt this world with your presence. Lord, we are tired of all the sin, all the lies, all the hurt that goes on, all the deceit, all the things that people say are okay. And we want to see Jesus Christ, righteousness, truth, love, peace, caring in sincerity about other people. We want to see that reigning on the earth. Lord, let it begin with us here, Burning Bush. May this be a church that lines up with your word. We ask you to search our hearts and bring us into oneness with your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.